August 1996, Ard Iosan changes that were about to take place, and I got a call from Bishop Patrick Walsh, who asked that I would take on a parish and prison ministry. The parish was fine, but prison ministry, I hated the thought of it, but felt obliged to accept. My first weeks as chaplain in Hydebank, I can only describe as horrendous. Getting used to the noise, the slamming of doors, the rattle of keys, seeing anger, watching fights. It was an alien soil. The celebration of Mass in those early weeks, that was an ordeal. And I kept thinking, what was that bishop thinking? A fight took place in the church. This time I was the one full of rage, and some voice rose from within me, and I took control. Of course, that was with the help of three burly officers. And there was silence. And I remember so well looking down at the 40 young men lost before me. It was then that I had gained a look of respect. And little by little, the trust and the acceptance grew. I was learning that these broken young men, and soon to follow in the years ahead, the broken women, they carried very heavy crosses. And most of these men and women knew that they had destroyed their lives, and they knew the hurt that they had inflicted on many innocent victims. They also knew that the time that they would do in this place wouldn't pay the price of their actions. And I began to hear their stories, and they voiced their regrets, and I saw sorrow, and I could just about touch on the pain that they carried. How could their lives have gone so wrong? One of our women from Ayesha House, she made a plaque for outside our church door, and it read, "Good people can do bad things, and bad people can turn good." I witnessed miracles taking place in here. I've seen true repentance and real forgiveness, love in its true sense, respect, atonement. But the greatest of the miracles that occurred, I think it occurred in me. My bishop, Bishop Patrick, made the right call. And he must have seen that I needed a ministry like this. A ministry that opened my eyes to the reality and the hurt and the sorrow all around. He called me and my fellow chaplains to help carry the many crosses that many bear.
I am speaking to you as a judge, as someone who has sent people to prison. You may be a victim of crime. You may know someone or know of someone who is or has been in prison. You may feel very strongly about prison issues. Whatever your background, you have some views on crime and sentencing. Imagine you are a judge, and you have to decide whether the human being standing in front of you should go to prison, and if so, for how long. You would have to look at the nature of the crime. The more serious the crime, the longer the prison sentence. The effect of the crime on the victim's family. You would also consider the background of the offender. Is there a record of previous offending? Is there family support? Is there evidence of remorse? As a prison sentence is intended to deter, you would also ask what message the sentence sends out to others who might be inclined to imitate this crime. Another factor, the future of the offender, and what can be done to minimise the risk of re-offending. How do you feel about those questions? If you had to make such a decision, would your personal faith have any relevance as you consider the future of an offender? An offender who has caused some, perhaps horrific, pain? Is there a temptation to give up on the offender? You may have heard a song composed by Robert Galea, who left behind a life of violence and drug abuse. The title of the song is "God Does Not Create Rubbish." Do you believe that? Do you believe that each human being, and that includes the offender, has been created in love by God? If society sees the offender as a person for whom there is no hope, as rubbish, would that not be to deny that God is creator of everyone? I have two hopes in this prison's week. My first hope is for the offender, that having served the sentence, he or she will be determined to walk away from crime. And that hope cannot be fulfilled without my second hope, that those in society who have not been in prison will accept that the offender can change, can find redemption through serving society, despite having compromised the good of society by his or her crime.
Growing up in the West was difficult, as I was trying to fit in with my peers from a very young age. I was very close to my uncle. He was always the person I trusted and opened up to. It was a massive shock when my uncle passed away at a very young age. This had a big impact on my everyday life, as I had no one to turn to. After the funeral, I just couldn't cope. I wanted something to take the immense pain away, and that's when I turned to drugs. Cannabis was the first drug I used when I was 13. I used it to block the thoughts of my uncle's death. It worked for a period of time. Then the thoughts all of a sudden started to flood back into my head. My daily life started to revolve around how to block these painful memories. That's when I started taking prescription drugs. The calm down I had of these drugs resulted in me wrecking the family home. And I also got expelled from secondary school. These drugs made me very aggressive towards people I loved. My drug use caused my life to fall apart. One night I ended up in the police station. I was 13. From that time onwards, I ended up being arrested on several occasions due to stealing to feed my drug habit. One night while off my rocker, I committed a serious crime which resulted in a hefty sentence. I was only 17. I was taken away from my family and friends. At the moment, I've just over 12 months left to serve. My jail time has been up and down. I have lost all the freedom which another 19-year-old would have. It has been a very difficult time. I am now back on track. Over the years, I've taught myself how to read and write, and I am currently doing a plumbing course. I'm planning to change my life when I am released from prison. I'm very lucky my family had stuck with me through thick and thin. I know my release will be hard, but I am determined to make a fresh start. My life so far has taught me a lot of hard lessons, but now I think the penny has dropped, so I am looking forward to a bright future.
I was driving home from the Ulster Hospital one November evening after visiting my dying father when my life changed forever. I was involved in a high-speed road crash. The other driver had R plates, was driving a high-performance car and attempting to tail slide around a bend. We met on my side of the road, headlight to headlight, with a closing speed in excess of 120 miles an hour. I regained consciousness 3.5 weeks later to discover I had multiple fractures to my feet, my face, and many areas in between. I also learned my father had died 3 days after the crash. At court, the other driver pleaded guilty. The judge told him to expect a custodial sentence. The prosecution barrister asked for my views, and I said I felt it was a shame it had to be a custodial sentence, because it wasn't a deliberate act, and I couldn't see how prison would benefit either of us. I would be happy with a heartfelt apology. The judge was informed of my views, and as a consequence, he pronounced a 1-year sentence rather than 2 years. As he was led from the dock, the young man asked to speak to me. I went forward and, for the first time, looked him in the face. Through his tears, he apologised. It was heartfelt. I got the closure I wanted. So what did prison do for him? Just before the crash, he had been offered a job that would have given him a career and a future. But when released, he soon fell into bad ways and found himself back inside. Incarcerating him didn't give me the opportunity to say goodbye to my father or heal my disabled body or get me back into the career I loved. And as a deterrent, it did nothing. People still too frequently die on our roads. His one thoughtless action ended up ruining my life, and the punishment ruined his. Do we still believe in the philosophy of an eye for an eye? People should surely know that life isn't a computer game with a reset button for when things go wrong. teaching people about responsibilities and consequences before an incident must be far better than punishment afterwards. But if prison is the punishment meted out, I hope that rehabilitation offers such education and that prisoners accept that help. To me, it compounds the crime and adds to the hurt of the victim if someone leaves prison worse off. But I'm an optimist. I always hope that something good can come out of something bad.
People say that when a member of the family is put in prison, that the family serves the time as well. My daughter, who suffers from painkiller addiction, was sentenced to a 2 years custodial sentence. My daughter was in the depths of despair trying to kick the habit when she committed this crime, as she felt that this was the only way to get help. She was right. The police service arranged the right help, but unfortunately it had to be put on hold while she served her time. When my daughter was sentenced, it was like a knife through the heart for our family. All kinds of emotions went through my head. How was she going to cope? What about her son? How would this affect my disabled wife? I felt sad, frustrated that my daughter had committed a crime and had to be punished, and I felt angry at the length of sentence because I knew that what my daughter had done was a cry for help. My first job was to explain to my 11-year-old grandson why his mummy had to go to jail. I assured him that my wife and I would take care of him until his mum's release. He had a lot of questions, and you could see he was having problems trying to understand the whole situation. We have a good relationship and we can talk freely about whatever he wants to know. He seems to have accepted the reasons behind his mum's situation. He is doing well at school, playing for a local football team, and looks forward to his weekly visit with his mum. Last year, my wife passed away 4 months after being diagnosed with cancer. It was heartbreaking telling my daughter, and I was worried about how she would cope with her mum's death, along with her own fight to overcome her addiction. My daughter was allowed out of prison to visit her mum in intensive care and then only enough time to attend the crematorium service. From what I have seen, there are too many people with mental health problems in prison who should be in a special unit with enough trained staff to help deal with their issues, not locked up for hours to face their demons on their own. God help those who don't have any family support. My daughter has served 18 months and I see a big change in her. She was almost back to her old self thanks to the support she has received while in prison. She will be released in 6 months and hopefully, with the support of her family, she will have a new chance in life.
I am a prison chaplain, but the words I'm going to read are not mine. These are the words of a former female prisoner in Hyde Bank. She didn't want her voice recognised, but she's happy for me to read this out. I went to prison in my mid-40s for a very short sentence, which I fully deserved. I had done wrong. But now it feels like my sentence only began when I walked out of Hyde Bank. Being in prison was scary, and for someone who had never lived with violence or the world of drugs, it took a bit of getting used to. I had never been in the company of these people, but I soon learned there are no types in prison. They come from all walks of life. A lot of women have serious mental health issues and should not be anywhere near the place. For others, it's a place of safety where you have a bed and food. I could never say there was rehabilitation in prison. There are no resources. And the management team, I feel, are so far removed from reality, it's not funny. After biding my time through the sentence, I looked forward to coming home. But my children saw me as a huge embarrassment. My wider family circle despaired of me, and I found it so very hard to move on. Through faith, I have managed to put it behind me. But there are still some times when I feel the stigma will always be there. I will never be in a position to go to prison again. I sought help for myself, and I came to trust the Lord and ask for guidance in my life. I sometimes wish that I could sit down with the judge and explain what he is sending a woman to. I deserve to be punished for what I did, but prison is not always the answer. I believe the media play a big part in the stigmatization of prisoners. Trust me, no one is lying up with a plasma screen and a games console. The prison regime also needs a drastic overhaul if it is to be fit for purpose or help anyone unfortunate enough to go through its doors. I can't actually read this out myself because even after all this time, my family are horrified I would want to do this. The whole family serve the sentence, not just the prisoner. Sometimes, if you let it, a short sentence can become a life sentence.